over the solid rock. I'm going to preach a little bit about that today, about the foundation of faith, the foundation that God has for us and the intention that God has for us to follow him. I heard a story this past week about a little boy. He'd been to Sunday school, and he was on the Sunday school bus going back to his house, and they gave him a little card that says, "Have faith in God." And he loved that. He was looking at it on the way home, and the window was rolled down, and the wind caught the car and blew it out the window. And he said, "Stop the bus. I've lost my faith in God." The bus driver, he stops the bus. The little boy jumps out, and he gets that. And one of the adult supervisors, he's like, "Oh, isn't that good, childlike faith?" And another guy said this. He said, "It might be a good idea if we were also concerned about keeping our faith in God." So I think it's important for us to have faith. And I know we talk about this a lot in church. And this morning, my prayer is that we'll get a perspective on faith and really about God's expectation. There's a lot of people that talk about faith. A lot of preachers preach about faith. And then sometimes they're even condemning if you don't, they say you don't have enough faith or you don't have faith to get something done. Let me tell you something. God has a plan for each and every one of us, and he will honor us in faith. We're in this series this morning called Extraordinary. In other words, when God puts his extra on our ordinary. We're all ordinary people, right? I mean, we're just humans doing things that God has given us, and his miraculous happens in our lives. But when we recognize the power that God has, it helps our faith to grow in him. I want to talk about Abraham this morning. Abraham was God asked him to leave his homeland. Abraham, while he did have questions and at times and wondered when God's promise would happen, I don't think he hesitated in God's faith, because the Bible says that he had faith. And he made that chapter in Hebrews chapter 11, Abraham, the faith of Abraham. Certainly he didn't hesitate when God called him out of his home country. God called him out of a place that he was comfortable in, a place that he knew very well. And he said, "In you, I'm going to find a new nation." By the way, that's how the whole nation of Israel came, was through the lineage of Abraham. But he said, the blessings of Abraham we can have if we'll bless the God of Abraham. So the scripture records it here in Genesis chapter 12, that Abram, as he was known then, picked up everything, his sheep, his cattle, his tents, his nephew, his wife Sarah, and began to trek to a land that he didn't know. What a great act of the word we're defining today is faith. Let's look at faith. What it actually means in the Greek is a conviction in the truthfulness of God. When we talk about God and we talk about the truthfulness of God, We tend to think about the things that we get or the things we didn't get when we ask God for something. So, and we really define faith by whether we got that, what we asked for or not. And so what I want to challenge you with today is not to think about the things that you did get or even the things that you didn't get that you asked for, but think about the basis of the faith that you have in God. So this is the kind of faith that Paul was talking about, a conviction in the truthfulness of God. This faith or conviction is what God recognized when he credited his faith to him as righteousness. That's what God said. God said that he credited Abraham's faith as righteousness. In other words, when God saw Abraham's faith, he gave him credit, and he was a righteous man because he believed God. Righteousness, to be in right standing with God, means that we have trust and confidence in God. So here's everyone has faith in something. We talked a little bit about that a week or two ago. Even lack of faith is a kind of faith. Some people have little faith and we kind of feel sad for them. Some folks have desperate faith, so we just pray for them. Some have a different faith, and we fear for them. Some have strong faith, and we admire them. Perhaps one of the best attempts to define faith is what is found in the Communicator's Commentary, Dr. Stuart Briscoe. He writes this, and this is really the big idea for today. He said this, the object of faith is what really matters more than anything else. The object of faith is what really matters more than anything else. You see, your object of faith could be thin ice. And you have faith in thin ice. And when you have faith in thin ice, you're going to jump on it because you believe you can trust that thin ice. So you jump in it and the ice breaks because it's thin ice. But you had great faith in the thin ice. But the object of your faith, it didn't work. Or you can have little faith in thick ice and you can drive your truck on it. So I'm talking about the object of your faith. What is the object of your faith? Too many times we just focus on whether we got what we wanted from God or whether we didn't get what we wanted from God. But I want to challenge you today on focusing on the object of your faith, which is God. And stop focusing on whether you got what you didn't get what you asked for, or you did get what you asked for, because it's really more about God getting what he wants rather than you getting what. Anybody ever asked for something and you didn't get it, and then later on you go, and you guys ever date a girl and you're like, well, I'm glad to get stuck with her. And you women, same thing. You're like, man, look at that guy. Ooh, man, glad I didn't marry him. You liked him a lot, though. But listen, God knows better than we know about everything in our lives. And because he is God and he is all powerful, he has all knowledge. God is God, and we can put our faith and our confidence in him. And the Bible says this. He says, you have not because you. Yeah. So what it says? It says you have not. So many times, a lot of people stop asking because they didn't get what they asked for the last time. Y'all don't look too holy on me out there. They stopped asking for healing because they didn't get healed when they asked God. They stopped asking God for help with their finances. They stopped asking God for wisdom. They stopped asking God for a husband, a future wife. They stopped asking God to help them with their homework. They got a bad grade on the last one. Just got a word for you, study. So he says, you have not because you ask not. And then he says this in another place. He says, you don't have because you ask amiss, or you ask wrongly, that you might consume it upon your own flesh. It's like you're like, it's getting complicated, preacher. No, it's not. That's my point. It's not complicated at all, because when you put your faith in God alone and stop bringing all of this other thinking into your life, and your object of faith is God, it's not thin ice, it's not thick ice, it's not whether you got what you asked for or you didn't get what you asked for. It's only about God. And when you trust God and you put your faith in God, you just, man, things just happen, and you're okay with it because God was in the middle of it. Amen. Now, God knows a lot better than we do. I've said that before, but I'm going to keep saying it probably. Okay. Faith must have a cornerstone upon which to build, which is Jesus said he was the chief cornerstone. We're not called to have faith in faith itself. Faith in faith is not faith. The only true foundation for faith is God. Then we might ask, why have faith? Why did Abraham have faith? Why did Abraham have faith in God. Maybe it was because God's promises. We look at Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. It says, the Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, your father's household, to a land I will show you. This is God talking to Abraham. God is telling Abraham what he will do for Abraham in Abraham's situation. Just as he wants to talk to each and every one of us about what he wants to do in our situation. He says, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you. In other words, because Abraham is God was beginning to build the nation of Israel. And he said, those who you bless, I will bless. And those who you curse, I will curse. So if we bless Israel, God will bless us. These things still work. The promises of Abraham are our promises as well. He says, I will bless those who bless you. Whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the people of the earth will be blessed through you. So Abram went as the Lord had told him. Faith isn't something we turn on and off like a light switch. Faith is a lifestyle. Faith is something we live each day. We live in a society of skeptics and cynics. Often people will respond to a promise possibility by saying, well, I just don't believe it. They call that reality, but it really is a form of skepticism learned by negative experiences. See, too many times we let our negative experiences form our faith in God. Unfortunately, we've had negative experiences, and these negative experiences have conditioned us to look at things as skeptics because we have been disappointed so many times. We are tempted to believe in nothing or no one. We promise something. When promised something, we often respond by saying, I'll believe it. Yeah, y'all preaching for me. I'll believe it when I see it. Let me tell you something. Sorry, that's not faith. Because if you see it, you don't have to have faith in it because it already is there. But faith is something. You see, Abraham didn't see that land. It wasn't like he could get on Google Earth and look at the place he was going, and he said, "Ooh, that looks like pretty good over there. I think I'll do that." No, he didn't have any of that. He just simply had to trust God. And at some point in time, if we are going to please God, and if we are going to be counted as righteous in God's eyes, we are going to have faith in God. A lot of people say the problem is even when we do see it, we often don't believe it. Or we say, well, you sure were lucky. Man, you was lucky there. Why is it that Christians will give honor to luck and they won't give honor to God when they're blessed by God? Why is it that we have grown into a habit of saying, you sure are lucky. You must have been lucky. Let me just say this. I learned something after that last service. I preached the same sermon, so I'm getting good at it. I'm practicing. But I preached the same sermon, and our resident counselor, Misty Matchett, which is Pastor Rob's wife, she said that luck is another word for Lucifer. I didn't know that. She said, when we give honor to luck and we bless luck, we're actually blessing Lucifer. You think about that. Next time you say, boy, that was lucky. My goodness. Why would we do that when we should bless God? It says all good and perfect things come from God. And many times we blame God when the devil has everything in it to do with it. We say, I don't know why God made that happen. Well, maybe he didn't make it happen. Maybe the devil made it happen, or maybe you did something all by yourself. We sure don't want to blame. We're like the Me Too. Like, I'm going to talk about idols in a minute, but. There are always barriers. Listen, there's always barriers to faith. Abraham faced these barriers to faith. One barrier we all face is circumstances. You can look at your circumstances, and they can be pretty bleak at times. There can be, like, big problems. I remember I got a phone call, and this guy called me, and he said, can you come to the hospital? Because I really want to be baptized. So I said, yeah, I'll come. So I came and went to the hospital, and this guy was, I mean, he was like on his deathbed, and they had him sitting up, and he said, Pastor, I've never been baptized before, and I know I'm not going to make it, but I need to get baptized. And so I was like, well, it won't do any good for you to be baptized if you don't accept Christ as your Savior. Have you ever done that? No, I haven't. Well, I said, would you like to do that? He said, I sure would. So I prayed with him, prayed the prayer of salvation. And as soon as we got through with the prayer, he said, now can you baptize me? And I was looking at him, and he was in that bed, and he couldn't get up. They already told me he couldn't get up. And I was like, you know, I'm used to dunking people. Elephant in the room. I'm like, you know, Jesus went down into the water, it says, and it come back up. So that's what we do. And that's the only way I've ever done it. And so I'm like, man, I didn't know what to do. And so I says, I didn't even know how to sprinkle people because I had never done that either. But I told his wife, I said, go get me a cup of water. So she went and got a cup of water. And his name was Spooty. I said, Spooty, because you've accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I got that water. And he was doing this. And he said, oh, thank you. He said, thank you. He said, I really need to talk to you about something. I said, well, what is it, Spooty? And he said, everybody leave, but my wife can stay. And I said, what is it, Spooty? He said, we're not really married. We've been living together for 19 years. And we've got our daughter. Nate, she doesn't even know that we're not married. But I don't know what to do. I says, would you marry us? We're talking about circumstances. I'm like, man, he's always a twofer, you know? And so I'm like, well, I said, first thing, y'all gotta get your daughter. You gotta tell her what's going on. We gotta do it right. If you're gonna do this, I said, go tell her and say, we'll see what we can do. So she went and told her, and they talked, and they come in, and she come in, and everybody's good. So Spooty goes, will you marry us now? And I'm breaking all the rules. I'm like, yeah, sure, Spooty, I'll marry you. So I said, you Spooty, yeah. And it was like, for better or worse, rich or poor, sickness, health, till death do us part. You kiss the bride. We just went through it pretty fast and kissed. He says, something come over him. He says, I can rest now. He said, I haven't been able to sleep in days. He said, I just can't go to sleep because I was afraid I was going to die without God. He says, I can sleep now. And he died the next day. Sometimes we don't understand things. We don't understand our circumstances. And we can go through some things in life that's really hard to explain. Sometimes we get into situations that we just do the best we can. You've been in those situations. But my challenge to you today is to let God be glorified. in your situation. Let him be the solid foundation for your faith. Because with God, you can walk through anything. You can make it through anything in your life. If you will allow God to have his rightful place in your life, because eternity is put in the heart of every man, woman, boy, and girl. God has planted the thought of eternity. That was what was going on in Spoonie's life. It was like, I've got to get something done here because I know I'm not right and I know that I'm going to die. But the truth is we're all going to die. Unless the Lord comes back and gets us, none of us are going to get out of here alive. So we always have to be ready to give an account to God. Faith, trust in God. Abraham, he was like 75 years old when he started the trek. Then he was 90 years old when, or he was 100 years old when God reaffirmed his promise to him. And Sarah, she was like 90 years old when they had Isaac? Yeah. Isaac. 100 years old. Some immaculate. Pretty amazing right there. You talk about putting God's super on our natural. He did that. There's some benefits of faith, and I'm going to run through these pretty quick. Faith builds us up or strengthens us. It grows us toward maturity. Faith is exercise, and when we exercise our faith grows. I would just challenge you to keep faith in the forefront of your mind, because trusting God without faith, it's impossible to please God. I dare say everyone in this building today, everybody watching online, everybody wants to please God. So faith is important for us to grow and believe God. Another benefit is that faith exalts God and it glorifies his greatness. The scripture says that Abraham was fully persuaded. Everybody say fully persuaded. Not partially. He said, when you pray, pray in faith, believing, nothing wavering. Whether you got what you asked for last time or you didn't get what you asked for, pray in faith, believing, because it's your job to pray the prayer of faith, and it's God's job to lift up the situation and to make it better. So you do your job, I'll do my job, and let God do his job. Another benefit of faith is it gives us possession of the promise. And finally, faith in God is credited to us as righteousness. Abraham was in right standing with God because of his faith. In other words, because he had faith in God, God made him in right standing. That's what the word righteousness means. It means right standing with God because of his faith. Abraham was in right standing with God. And because of your faith and because of my faith, we are in right standing with God. It's not by works of righteousness that you have done. It's because of his mercy that he has reached down and he saves us. And when he puts his righteousness on our natural, we become supernatural beings for God. And we can do amazing things for God. Things that you never dreamed you could do, you can do for God because he will put his super on your natural. That's what he did for Abraham, and he'll do it for you. He will count you as righteous if you have faith in him. Sarah got ahead of God. She had a slave girl bear a child just in case God didn't provide. Do you ever get ahead of God? Do you ever pray for something? Did I say that in this service? You pray for something and then you didn't get it? And then thank God for unanswered prayers? Yes. I thought I did. I wasn't sure. God will provide in his way, not in the way Abraham and Sarah tried. We have to be careful that we don't get ahead or behind God. And we must stop responding to our circumstances. Or even being burned out because we didn't get what we asked for before. If you have faith, somewhere along the line, you heard God speak. Abraham did not simply believe in the promise that God had given to him.
Abraham's basis of faith was God, in whom he believed. Abraham believed in God himself. God must be the clear object of our faith. I think that's the reason why our faith gets messed up, is because we complicate faith, and really faith is having faith in God as the object of our faith. Abram left his comfortable life in Ur, his hometown, with only the Lord's word as a guide. The life changes that he experiences were undoubtedly difficult, but he persevered through difficult times. I think that's the message. In order for God to be the object of my faith, something has to change. Change? Probably some of you are thinking today you want to talk about change. Let me tell you about change, preacher. I can read your mind. Let me tell you about my changing my body, chemotherapy, treating my body like a pincushion. Talk about change. Change, we're surprised we're pregnant. We're wearing a maternity dress to prom. Yeah. Change, I have schisms in the family because of disagreements. My family has unforgiveness in it, or unforeseen circumstances. Talk about change. How about the changing economy? If my investments don't improve, I'm going to spend my retirement eating macaroni and cheese. Change? Yeah. Our changing business. I'm jobless. Mailing in resumes doesn't pay the bills. Change? Had more than your share. Change? Wishing you could freeze frame the video of your world. Would it help to stand in St. Peter's Square and tell the fella up on the balcony, stop, no more change? Well, save your breath. He can't help either. If you're looking for a place with no change, try a soda machine. Because with life, change comes. With change comes fears, sometimes insecurity, sorrow, stress. Change of plans can stop you in your tracks. So what do? Hibernate? Pop a few more pills? Take no risk for fear of failing? Give no love for fear of losing again? Some opt to, and they hold back. A better idea would be to look up, set your bearings on the one and only North Star of the universe, God. Right. Make him the foundation of your life instead of the circumstances that change with the rising of the sun. Make him the object of your faith, not your business, not your friends, not your family. Only God, only God should inhabit your sanctuary. Even though life changes, he never does. Check out the scripture through eyes of faith rather than through the eyes of defeat and doubt. God's power will pull you through anything, anywhere, anytime. You're expecting a painful change in your lifestyle right now, maybe. Maybe a broken relationship. Maybe someone betrayed your trust. Maybe you're in a budget squeeze, some debilitating illness, maybe even jail time. Can you see the plan God may have for you of turning difficult change into something good? That's what he did for Abraham. My challenge to you today is to face your struggle courageously and patiently. God may be using it to prepare you for your promised land. If you'll be faithful and full of faith. Sometimes when you're the preacher, I will say this. It's a lot easier to preach about things than it is to actually live it. Moms and dads, it's easier to tell your kids what to do than actually live that life in front of them. A couple nights ago, I was having a hard time sleeping. I was worrying about things. I know worry is a sin. I get it. My name's Randy Weaver. I worry sometimes. Anybody, like, you wake up in the middle of the night and then your mind just goes to rolling and you can't go back to sleep because you're just like, too much stuff going on. That was like, and then I thought about that scripture that says to take every thought captive. I'm like, Randy Weaver, you have no business preaching because you can't even do it yourself. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that God can see you just the way you are? At some point in time, we have to stop putting up this facade. We have to stop putting up this little image that we've got everything under control. Because my goodness, we all need help. Thank God that He is God. Thank God that He can see things that I can't see, that He is willing and able to do miraculous things exceedingly abundantly above all that I could even ask or think. And really, isn't that what God's done in our lives? When we trust Him, He does more things than we could ever have imagined He will do. You say, well, preacher, what world are you living in? I'm living in the same world that you're living in. God counted it as righteousness. I'm not telling you that just because if you have a big bank account that you have righteousness. I'm saying when you make investments in the eternal things of God, your account as righteous will raise up to the throne of God, and He will see you as a righteous person, and then He will account that to you as righteousness because you are able to go into His presence. You're able to kneel down wherever you are, and if you can do that, you have more wealth than anybody in the whole world. Because God trusts you and He accounts your prayers as righteous prayers when you come into His presence because you have faith in the object of God and not in all the things that you pray for, but in God Himself. Live, die, sink, or swim. We're going to serve the Lord and put our faith and our trust in Him and nothing else. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for blessings. Thank you, Lord, for looking beyond all of our faults and seeing our needs. We as a church declare that we need you, Jesus. Individually, Lord, we declare we need you. Please forgive us, Lord, for allowing our circumstances to affect our faith. Please help us, Lord, to always look at you as the object of our faith and to stop putting our faith in other people or any projects or in our businesses. Lord, only you could bring those good things to us, Lord. So we pray, oh God, that you'd help us, Lord, to be faithful to you. Faithful to you, first of all and foremost, so we can be a blessing to our families, to our coworkers, to those we come around, Lord, that may not understand what it's like to walk in total love, to walk in total forgiveness, to walk in the freedom wherever because we can take every thought captive. I thank you, Lord, that our thoughts don't rule us. But Lord, we commit our ways to you. Pray, Lord, that you would direct our path. I'd like for you to keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed for just a second. This morning, if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, or maybe if you have and you just haven't been living for Him, the greatest gift that you can give to God is your life. Because He gave His life for you, He has made it possible for you to come into His presence. Jesus said this. He said, we have all sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God. But He also said, if we confess our sin, he will forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So this morning, if you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, maybe if you have, you just haven't been living for him, simply by raising your hand, say, "Preacher, I need Jesus in my life. I need to make him the Lord of my life." We want to put a Bible in your hand. Anybody, "Preacher, I don't want to walk through this day not knowing where I'm going to spend eternity. I want to get things right with God." Slip your hand up high. Anybody, it's the greatest gift you'll ever have in your life. Yep, yep. Leave your hands up. Thank you. Yep, thank you. Yep, thank you, partner. Leave your hand up. We want to put a Bible in your hand. Thank you so much. Right up here. Up here. Thank you. Anybody else before we move on? It's the greatest gift you'll ever have in your life. Thank you. You can put your hand down. I appreciate you, partner. Anybody else before we move on? Anybody? Preacher, that's me. If you raise your hand, would you look up at me? If you raise your hand, yep, back in the back, I see you. If you raise your hand, would you mind coming up and let me pray with you? Come on up, buddy. Everybody that raised your hand, there's several of you back there. Come on, partner. Let me pray for you. Back in the back over there. Come on. It's a good day. I tell God's all over you. I'm proud of you, buddy. Thank you. It's a good day. This is like being born again. It's fixing to happen. Stay right here. I want to pray with y'all. Come on. Who else? Who else raise your hand? Come on. Don't let this moment pass. Come on, buddy. Thank you. That's your girl. Thank you. I'm so proud of you. Anybody else? Okay, look here. Here's what the Bible says. It says if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we'll be saved. Have you ever wondered what the true religion is? You ever wondered that? Like what's the true religion? I'm fixing to tell you. It's the religion that honors Jesus. Why? Because he's the only one that was raised from the dead. Like Buddha, Muhammad, none of them guys come up. None of them. But Jesus said, "Come on, partner. I thought you was back there. Appreciate you coming."
Germany.
From Germany?
Yeah.
Well, you come a long way for church. I'm glad you're here. Okay. 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 Stay right there. So stay right there. So here's the deal. It says if we confess our sin, he is faithful to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In other words, we've all sinned, right? He came to forgive. So I want to pray with you. Let's bow our heads. Y'all help us pray. Y'all just repeat after me, okay? Say, "Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me. Lord, I am a sinner. Please forgive me. I invite you into my heart. I invite you into my life. From this day forward, I give my life to you. Help me to read my Bible, to pray, to show up for church and get baptized. I love you, Jesus. Teach me to love you more. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen." Now, whoa, that's so cool. This is so cool. Now, listen. Y'all listen to this. You're not going to be perfect, though. Just because this happened, you won't be perfect. Life is a struggle. But having Jesus helps you through the struggle. He doesn't say that you won't have any struggles. He says, "I'm going to help you get through them," okay? So when you mess up, if you mess up or when you mess up, whatever, run to God and let him forgive you again. But never, never, never run from God. Y'all with me? Makes sense, doesn't it? Okay, I want you to go visit these guys for just a second, if you don't mind. I appreciate you, buddy. Bless you. Go visit them guys. I love you. Thank you. I'm so proud of you. Bless you. Bless you, girl. Thank you. Bless you, buddy. Okay. All the way from Germany.
Yeah.
Well, you can watch us online if you got to go home or something, okay? Go visit these guys for just a second. Stand with me, please. Thank the Lord. Germans need Jesus. Amen. Everybody needs Jesus, right? Everybody. I want to talk to you briefly about your focus. Your focus has to be on God. It can't be on what you want. It's okay to ask God for things. Amen? Because it really is. But you have to be able to take the answer. And that really is what faith is all about. It's not about what you get. It's about your faith in God that He will give you what you need and what's good for you, what will help you. Now, listen, when you pray for people and they don't make it, they die, they just got promoted to heaven. If we really believe this stuff that we preach, they're promoted when they die. We'll be promoted. None of us are going to get out of here alive unless Jesus comes back and gets us, which is possible. I would like that. So we got to be ready. Keep your faith in God. How many say, preacher, I got to keep my focus on God, and the object of my faith has to be God, because I can go other places when I shouldn't ought to do that. Raise your hand. Raise both hands. I want to pray for you. Yep. Lord, we lift everybody up to you, Lord. Help us to be faithful to you. I thank you, Lord, as we are faith-filled people, that we will be faithful people, full of faith and confidence in you as the object of our faith, the author and the finisher of our faith. You are the object of our faith, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. God bless you. Got our prayer team up here. If you need special prayer for anything, God is a miracle-working God.